I would invite you to turn with me to the Gospel according to John, the fourth Gospel, Gospel according to John, and read there in the last chapter, chapter 21. We're going to read verses 1 through 19, and our focus will be on verses 15 through 19 in particular. So let's read this larger portion first and then focus on those verses I mentioned in the sermon. This is the word of the Lord. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put his outer garment, for he had removed it, on and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with them. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter now was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciples whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? Follow me." We'll end the reading of God's word right here. congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, this, of course, is an extremely important encounter that Peter has with his master, the Lord Jesus Christ. What the encounter was to Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he met Jesus on the way to Damascus, is what this means to Peter. This encounter with Jesus is monumental, of paramount importance to his future life and ministry under the Lord Jesus Christ. This will be the defining moment when the Lord sends him out and forth into the world. If this encounter had never taken place, Peter would be one of the most miserable apostles sent into the world because of what had happened that had not been remedied, taken care of in an appropriate way. This is not a passage that has to do with the foundations for or against the Roman papacy. Sometimes commentators have made comments about that. This is plain and simple, Jesus preparing Peter for his future service in the church. We see Jesus' painful method that he applies. We see Peter's consistent response. And we see then, in particular, Jesus' comments about Peter's future service. It is a painful method that the Lord Jesus applies. It is painful because of the fact what had happened, and it is also painful because of the public setting. On that last point, young people, if you are ever, let's say, in a classroom situation and the teacher singled you out for something that you had allegedly done wrong, you would have probably preferred it if the teacher had called you aside privately. Nobody wants to be publicly humiliated. But it shows you the gravity of this and the seriousness of the sin that Peter committed when he denied Jesus three times. And he denied Jesus three times, not in private, but in public as well. So with that public denial comes a public reinstallation, if you will, a reinstatement. It's painful because Peter knows very well that that day, on the night before, the day before Jesus was hung on that cross, following his arrest, in other words, Peter had denied the one whom he loved, his master. Yes, there is unfinished business. How important it is indeed for Peter to be forgiven in this way. As I think of this, I immediately think of my work, and I relate to you that I too often meet people in the nursing home setting, if you will, people who have not made themselves right with God, and they have not repaired their relationships with their loved ones. If any of you in this room have unfinished business, as far as it is up to you, I would urge you to make amends in as far as that is under your control. It is important because it directly affects your functioning in society, and particularly as image bearers of Christ and as servants of Christ in His church and kingdom. The Lord Jesus needs to confront the Apostle Peter before he is sent out into this world. He needs to confront him in this painful way because so much is at stake. So much is at stake because of the effectiveness of Peter himself and the work that he will be called to do. Peter, the first question goes, do you love me more than these? And the other questions that follow, second and third, it's just limited to, do you love me? But the first one is the most pointed. Peter, do you love me more than these? More than these, supposedly these other disciples, your friends. The Apostle Peter cannot be reinstated. He cannot obtain his credentials or have them restored, if you will, unless it is publicly stated that the Apostle Peter loves the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything and anyone in this world. Do you see yourself as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you say in your heart of hearts, I love Jesus more than anything, more than anyone? I love Jesus with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength, with all my strength. There's only one way to be a follower of Jesus. There's only one way to be a kingdom citizen. And that is not just something that comes with the New Testament, it comes with right from the Old Testament. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. You might almost say, and love your neighbor in the same way. How things would be different if we love Jesus more than anything or anyone in this world. It would be radically different, I suppose. In my own personal life, your personal lives, your family lives, your church life, life in general. When we are eradicating from our hearts and minds the idols that are there that keep us from this kind of wholehearted, exclusive devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you love me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. To which the Lord Jesus then said, feed my lambs. The Apostle Peter is called to go out into the world to feed the lambs. These are the lambs and sheep for whom Christ laid down his life. The Lord Jesus is not just calling Peter to go and work in a seminary somewhere and instill doctrine and knowledge into the minds of young, older people who aspire to be ministers or missionaries or evangelists. This is about what is most important to Jesus himself, his church. How important it is then that we live in a right relationship with God all the time. And that we confess our sins so that that relationship is restored. So that our relationship as a faith relationship can prosper and can deepen. And can also become more effective when God does call us to various duties. And we're not all called to be apostles. We're not called, in other words, to be missionaries or pastors or teachers in the church. But we are all called to love him more than anything and anyone in this world. It is of utmost concern in the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ that Peter gets it right. Lord, you know that I love you. I believe that that was an honest statement. I think that Peter sinned against the Lord in a terrible way. But let there not be anyone in this room boasting. How could Peter have done such a horrible thing? Because you might have been the one I might have been the one, had I been one of his disciples, and I allowed my sinful nature to gain control in such a way that I would flee the scene, scared of the wolf coming, and leave the shepherd in this case. No, there's no room for boasting. Peter needs to be reconciled with his master, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord himself knows that this type of interrogation is not, it can go this way or that way. I think the greatest service and purpose, I mean, behind this interrogation, this questioning, is not so much for Jesus to find out the truth. He is the source of truth. He is the author of truth. He knows what is in Peter's heart. But the purpose will be that Peter sees that he cannot be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ unless he has exclusively committed his whole life and heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and his service. That everything else in this world will have to take a lower position when it comes to his purpose in life, to be a follower of Jesus together with all the other disciples. No, this is not about Peter by his office as apostle standing as a first among equals. This is simply the confrontation that had to take place between the Lord Jesus Christ and his very willing servant, but weak servant, Peter, who had said so boldly, "Even if all fall away, I never will. I will never disown you." Who of us here in this room can say that? It was foolishness on his part. But it also showed at the same time where his heart was at. "Lord, you know that I love you." We must somehow understand that to mean then that when he sinned so grievously, it's not because, you know, he did not love Jesus. It's because he sinned and he did not rely on the grace of God. And so he had to be restored. He had to be forgiven. "Peter, do you love me more than these?" These disciples, these friends, whom you followed when you escaped from the scene. Because Peter and the other apostles are not just going to be hirelings, hired men. The Lord Jesus does not employ consultants, contractors, spiritually speaking. They are representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ himself when they go out and feed the lambs, feed the sheep. It is as if Jesus himself in person were there when Peter feeds the lambs, when Paul feeds the lambs, and all the apostles. I think we can all observe that in the general church scene today, there's kind of an equalizing going on in terms of the offices in the church and the ministries that go on in the church, those that we call formally offices and those that are, usually performed by lay persons. And it doesn't really matter, you know, what we're talking about. But that does matter, doesn't it? When the Lord specifically entrusts people to your care, whom you are called to pastor and shepherd in your capacity as an office bearer, then make sure that you, above all people in the church, in the congregation, know that you've been called. And that you have agreed to the call. And that you're in your own heart can say, "Lord, you know that I love you. I love you more than these. Don't accept the call of the church to be a pastor or an elder or a deacon, and really also not a Sunday school teacher if you want to go that far, if you don't know that you have been called by the Lord and love Him above all else. Why? Because you are dealing with men and women and children for whom Christ shed His blood, for whom He paid the ultimate price. Dear friends, ask yourself the question with me, do I love Jesus more than these? People, things, whatever it might be in this world. Reformer Calvin writes in his commentary on this passage, those who are to undertake the charge of governing the church are also taught in his person not to examine themselves slightly, but to make a thorough scrutiny what zeal they possess, that they may not shrink or faint in the middle of their course. We are likewise taught that we ought to patiently and mildly submit if at any time the Lord subjects us to a severe trial, because He has good reasons for doing so, though they are generally unknown to us. It just shows, my friends, the high standard that the Word of God holds for the work that Christ gives His people, His church, to accomplish in His name and for His sake. We come to the final thought this morning. The Lord Jesus prepares Peter to resume his pastoral office. And he does that in that specific way by pointing out to him that now that he has publicly declared and stated his exclusive love for Christ, in verses 18 and 19, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go. This he said to show by what death he was to glorify God. And after this, he said to him, follow me. Though all will fall away from you, I will not. Again, that is what Peter had claimed, boastfully. We cannot trust in our own personality. We cannot trust in our own intentions. We cannot congratulate ourselves that we have more passion for Christ than my neighbor friend, my brother or sister. Just focus on your relationship with Jesus Christ and His toward you. Do you love me more than these? Well, Peter, since you have stated so publicly and by your threefold affirmation, the matter is settled. It is official. You love me more than these. Feed my lamb, feed my sheep. Go, be my ambassador. Represent me to all the nations. From the response that the Apostle Peter gives, we know that there is no more boasting left in him. None of that sentiment that we heard in Matthew chapter 26 is left. Lord, you know. You know that I love you. You know everything. This is a different Peter, in other words. The Lord Himself has transformed Peter inside out. This is a humble Peter. This is not a proud Peter. Peter is ready to go. But the Lord, in honesty to Peter, says, but I want to call your attention to something that you must take, that you must be aware of. If you follow me more than anyone or anything else in this world, it means for you, Peter, that I have a plan for you that is not one that, according to your natural sentiments, might please you very much. It would please none of us in this room if it were told to us. You were used to do things your own way. You were in charge of your own life. You decide to go here or there at will. But when you follow me, Peter, I will direct your life. My Holy Spirit, using my word, will direct you and will cause you to be a blessing. And through the words that you speak, empowered by the Holy Spirit, men and women will come to, and children, young people will come to faith, to the experience of spiritual regeneration. But also realize that when you come to the end of your life, you'll not be in control then either of your own life. You'll not be able to say, now the time has come for me to retire and find myself a nice place where I can live out my latter years. Somebody else will have control over you. I mentioned Calvin a moment ago, but in his commentary he is being very consistent, actually, with his general attitude towards the interpretation of Scripture, namely that we should not speculate, so that the preacher who preaches must bring a firm, unambiguous message that can be well supported from the text. And so the text does not literally tell us that Peter was crucified. But that is the tradition that we have today in the Christian era, the Christian church. But whether or not Peter was crucified, and as the tradition goes, upside down, Peter was martyred for his faith. And Peter, along with most of the other apostles, lay down their lives. So the Lord Jesus is not asking Peter now again to do something that is unique, that sets him apart from all the rest, in his service, ending in his death. He is and will be faithful to his master, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no turning back once you have given your life to Christ. Once you have declared formally and fully that Jesus is your master and king, you will follow him. And you will receive from him the days when you receive great blessings, and when the Lord in his providence provides you with things that are not so pleasant. That doesn't mean that God has ceased to love you, that God has ceased to have placed his abiding favor and mercy upon you. It does mean that you are following the Master wherever he goes, wherever he leads you, wherever he sends you, for his greater glory and praise. It's my prayer this morning that we'll hear Jesus' words spoken to us. Go and feed my sheep. Take care of one another. And of course, the pastor in this church and the elders do that in a unique way. But we have all the common responsibility to take care of one another. Because we have laid aside all other priorities. Because he alone is most important. He comes first. And when we do that, then we will not worry and doubt about what the ramifications might be, where it might lead us, because of some adversity that it might imply. But hear the Lord speak to you through His Word and Spirit, and follow Him, because He is the risen Lord. And even through death, we cannot be separated from Him for all eternity. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks this morning for your word. And may each of us in our own hearts confess that we love you more than anyone or anything else in this world. For there is no better place to have than be in the center of your will and purpose for us, which is to know God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we confess your name this morning with humility, and because of a risen Lord Jesus Christ, an empty cross and an open tomb, we boast in that resurrection and that life that is now ours. And Father, if there is any person here who is struggling with that and just not sure about these things, Lord, we thank you for your patience and for your grace and for your mercy. And we thank you, Lord, how you use church services. You also use private conversation. You use other means as you see fit to bring us to that point where we understand what that love is all about. That love that is a sacrificial love, a selfless love by which we were drawn into that relationship so that we might in turn love others that way also. Heavenly Father, bless this congregation. Cause her to be faithful in her service in your church and kingdom and the world at large. For we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.